Attention HR professionals. Are you tired of dealing with poor performance from your managers? Are you sick of having managers run to you for every single little problem? Would you like to build the confidence and competence of your management team? If so, then contact Boss Builders. At Boss Builders, we specialize in building up the skills and confidence of your organization's managers. We do this through our popular Driving Results on-site training programs, our signature program, the Video-Driven Boss Builder Academy, and we even license our course materials so you and your internal training staff can get those managers confident and competent. For more information on how we can help you improve the performance of your organization's managers, contact us today at www.thebossbuilders.com or at 931-221-2988. Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
My life is changing. The life that I've had, it's changing forever, but no need to be sad. It's time to move on, time to start anew. I jumped from the nest with some troubles I flew. I might have hit a few bumps, maybe made a wrong turn, but all of those troubles are lessons I'll learn. So as my life changes, I hope that you'll see it's you who I'll credit for the life that I lead. And that is a poem by somebody simply named Dana from 2015. And as I was thinking about the topic for today's episode of the podcast, I thought, you know what, let's look for something about change. And in this particular example, Dana seems like she has just embraced change and she's getting after it. But I'll bet you've probably experienced change a little bit differently. Today we are going to do the third interview with our good friend Alexa Beavers, and we're going to be talking about how to surf the waves of change. Now, you may be somebody who is in the middle of a change and you're struggling, or you might be on a team trying to lead a change. And if either of those are true, I think you're going to really benefit from today's interview. Alexa is a lot of fun. I really encourage you to check out her karma cards. You can read about those in the show notes for the last time we had her on the podcast. But I don't think it'll be the last time we hear from her. She's got a lot of offer. So with no further delay, let's go ahead and check back in with our good friend, Alexa Beavers. Alexa Beavers, welcome back to the show for the third time.
Thanks, Mac. Always nice to spend time with you.
This has been a lot of fun working with you over the past few weeks on your episodes. And so if you are joining us for this episode, my recommendation is that you go ahead and stop it right here. Go back to episode number 10, because that was the first time I met with Alexa, and we talked about how to excel with a growth mindset. And then she came back a few weeks later for episode 13, and that was using gratitude as a remedy for burnout. So today we're going to do our third, and I don't say it's going to be our final time because I think we'll probably do more of these. You've been one of my most popular guests, but the topic today, probably not relevant for anybody, probably not something anybody would bother listening to, but on the odd chance you might or know somebody else who needs it, we're going to talk today about how to surf the waves of change. So since anybody could go back and hear about your background from the previous podcast we've done, I think we should just dive into the questions, Alexa. So let's talk about the topic. Why should we even bother talking about change? Why does this matter?
Yeah, thanks, Mac. I mean, one of my most fearful and enjoyable topics is change. So I'd just like to start out really with taking us to a place of a little story. Would you be willing to entertain that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Mac, I'm going to ask you to think of yourself as a beachgoer. Been to the beach?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. As so many of our listeners probably find that as their happy place to go. But, you know, think of yourself as a beach goer. We have our chair. We're just far away enough from the surf that we catch some rays. We're enjoying the day. And then the big wave comes in. Hmm. And you realize, oh, it's getting all my stuff wet. I have to make a change. So what do you do?
Well, by the way, I'm not the guy on the beach with a Speedo, just FYI. Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to get out of the way, right?
Yeah, we move our stuff. We get to a new spot. We get out of the way. We probably lay our blanket down. We see our new space and we find our new spot that works for us now.
Right.
And that's really how it used to be. You know, we'd have some time in between these big waves and it was more of a predictable thing. But now in our times, in 2019, those waves are coming at us so much more quickly. So much that we can't call ourselves beachgoers anymore. We have to shift our thinking to living among constant waves, constant change. So living among those ever-changing continuous waves, that's the kind of world we're in now. And we've moved from being beachgoers to surfers, surfing those ever-changing waters. And like those waves, change is happening continuously, and it's happening in our world, our real world, not our beach-going world, due to things like the digital landscape, the volatility in financial markets, globalization, and the really tenuous political environment right now. All of those things are drivers of large and significant changes across every single industry that our listeners touch. We call that a VUCA world. Have you heard of that before, Mac? VUCA?
You know, I've heard that from a couple of people. So tell me what VUCA means.
Yeah, it's an acronym that stands for volatile. So V for volatile, U for uncertain, C for complex, and A for ambiguous. So volatile meaning it shifts all the time. Uncertain meaning it's not necessarily something we can see ahead to. Complex meaning that this isn't a world of black and white anymore. There's a lot of gray. And that also ties in with the ambiguous piece. So living in a VUCA world means we're constantly surfing those waves of change and they aren't coming at a rhythm that we can anticipate anymore.
Well, I can certainly see this just in my travels, but I also can imagine it impacts the workplace, which is where most of our listeners tend to be. So what are the implications of this now surfing rather than just beach sitting for those in the workforce?
Yeah, I mean, it means that change is everyone's business. Gone are the days when a change manager could swoop in and support a change initiative and then leave. We all, every single one of us, from the shop floor to frontline management to executive boardrooms, need to be great at navigating change. Even 60% of managers today were polled by CCL, the Center for Creative Leadership. And you know what they said? 60% of them said that their teams aren't equipped for change.
Wow.
And when we aren't equipped for change, you know, how does that make you feel when you're facing something head on you're not equipped for, Mac?
Well, you feel helpless and you're frustrated and your anxiety level, even before that thing happens, just takes you off your game.
Takes you off your game, exactly. And that leads to things like lesser performance. When you're off your game, you're not able to be your best self at work, not able to maybe deliver like you used to, and not able to be your best self at home even, because what we experience in our day-to-day work life certainly spills over into our mindset when we walk in the door at home.
Well, the audience that typically listens to our show, it goes between our two podcasts, people from the boss area, leaders mm-hmm. in organizations. But the other one is the HR professionals. And so the way I look at both of those is that they are the heart and soul of an organization. And so what do HR professionals and even the people in the role of the boss need to know when it comes to change in a workplace?
Yeah, what you need to know is it's time to equip yourselves and your teams for change. And this will help you and it'll help your teams. Because when you're moving into a space where you're off your game, that's when you're at most risk for something we talked about in the last podcast, Mac, which is burnout. And, you know, especially those folks that are tapped to work on change initiatives, they're usually some of your best talent. And these folks are often at risk of burnout, even when they're highly engaged. One in five highly engaged employees is highly at risk for burnout, according to the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence and the Foss Foundation. And like we talked about last time, those HR folks and managers all have extra work to do if their teams are burnt out, because that means higher attrition. That means people aren't showing up to work because they're 63% more likely to take a sick day. That means that managers have to pick up the slack and HR people have some admin work to do, or even maybe some performance issues to address. You know, they're half as likely to discuss how to approach performance goals with their manager if they're in burnout mode. They're even 2.6 times as likely to leave their current employer, which, if you're a boss, you know how difficult it is when you need to help somebody ramp up to be their best. And you also know, as an HR person, the rigor and hard work that goes into bringing in the best talent into your organization. So helping your teams be equipped to manage and thrive in change will help your company, and it will also help you to be able to, you know, be the best manager you can be, instead of trying to fix things when people are not able to deal with change.
Well, those stats are really sobering when you think about that, just the fact that it impacts people. And maybe if I was the boss, I would just say, hey, this is what you're getting paid to do, so just get after it and get it done. But if people are going to be suffering physically, I don't know if it's possible. And then I just see the frustration level spilling out even more. So really, your HR folks and your organization's leaders have got to really pay attention to this. In your experience, is this an area that most managers really know a lot about, or is this going to be new to them?
I think the top companies are really starting to recognize that we're living in a VUCA world and we need new capabilities. So some of the top companies are really embracing bringing a change capability into their leadership, the ranks of their leadership and their frontline employees. However, the more I talk to folks, the more I learn that it's not as deeply saturated or broadly exposed as it could be. And I think that that's an important place. And the nice thing to know is there's something you can learn and something you can do about it. So whether your company is saying, let's learn about how to manage during change and bring our best, or you're just curious and you want to learn yourself, there's something that you can do.
You know, a few years ago, I had done some contract work with a company, and one of the off-the-shelf courses they would always, clients would want, was how to deal with change, I think is how it was covered. And so I would find, I'd go to these companies, and it was full of employees. And to be perfectly honest, all they would do is bitch and complain for the day-long session or two-day session about their reactions to change. And I thought, you know, I don't think it's really my job to come in here and make you feel better. I wonder if before a change was even thought of, maybe somebody would take the time to say, how are people going to be impacted by this? Those stats you gave, you know, 2.6 times as likely to leave, 23% more likely to visit the ER. It really seems to me that leaders ought to think this stuff through before just dumping it out and then expecting everybody just to get over it. That fear level is just going to grow exponentially.
Yeah, so that's really good insight, Mac. You're right.
Well, let me ask you this from your practice then, because I've got a bunch of other questions I want to ask you, but I'm just curious about this. I mean, do you work with executive teams, helping them think this through before they just put their foot on the gas and go after it?
Yeah, that's exactly what the Accela Group is all about. We sit with executive teams and talk about where they are now and where they want to go. And anytime you'd have that conversation, that means change and that's happening fast. So we really talk about what is the impact from a people perspective? What is the impact from a business and customer perspective? What is the impact in many other ways? And then we think about, all right, if that is what the potential hypothesis of our impact could be, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to shift mindsets about this change from something as change is a problem to be solved to this is a possibility, and I'd like to engage you in that journey? So that's exactly the kind of work we do, Mac.
Well, that seems like something that'd be very useful. I think awareness, you know, this past week I was working with one of our customers up in Connecticut, and the CEO gave a little brief. It was to their emerging leaders program. And one of his points, I thought was really powerful. In fact, I'll be blogging on it too, was this, his concept was called don't jerk the wheel. And what he says is that at the higher level you go, the decisions you make, even if they're spur of the moment, have this big whip effect that everybody else, it kind of like, it's like when you crack a whip, it's got this big arc that goes through and you've already moved on to the next thing. Meanwhile, people are just now catching the impact of that jerk the wheel, and then everybody's freaking out about it. So, think about that too. If you are in the executive suite and you happen to be listening to this, just thinking out loud sometimes starts that process.
Absolutely.
And, I think sometimes slow is fast. And not to mention, you want to bring an expert in there to come and help you out. Fortunately, you know where to get one now, don't you?
Yeah, I love working with executives on this stuff. And I also love working with executives to bring transparency to their thinking process with champions throughout the organization, because it does reduce that kind of whip the wheel effect. I kind of think of the folks that are in the rooms talking about change early stages as the first to leave the starting line in a marathon. You know, they're at mile 26 when the rest of the organization gets the news, they're at mile 10. So, I really love to help to bring the thought process into a space where others can join into the race a little earlier.
And now we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
Hey, Boss Builders. Feeling a little stressed? Want to become more mindful? Need more life mastery tools to fuel your life? Check out the Master Your Mind, Business, and Life podcast with Lauren Smith. This podcast will help you push past boundaries, shift your mindset, implement profitable strategies, and begin living with intention. Master Your Mind, Business, and Life is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other popular podcast apps. Tune in and turn it up.
Well, I understand you reached out to some of your current clients to hear what they thought you might want to be asked on this topic. And so based on their input now from the field, what are some things that came up?
Yeah, I reached out to folks that were at various levels of the organization, from folks that were kind of the change champion level at the ground floor to folks that were in the C-suite. And here's what the three main questions that bubbled up. One was, how can I manage my own emotional reactions to change? If you can put your own oxygen mask on first, Mac, as you like to say to your HR folks, then so many other good things will happen. So they were thinking along those lines. Another one was, what do I do if I don't have all the answers to the questions my team is asking me during change? And that can happen whether you're in the C-suite, because a lot of times we don't know what's going to happen next in a big change. Or it can happen if you're in a different part of the organization and just learning about the change. So that's pretty relevant to all levels. And then the last one is, how can I create a solid ground for my team when it feels like the world around us is shifting and maybe I don't have a lot of control?
Well, I wonder if you'd be willing to answer some of those questions. There's a good chance maybe they're tuning in. So why don't we take a look at the first one? How do we manage our own emotional reactions to change?
Absolutely. I'd love to talk about it. So, my managing my own reactions to change, I thought this was a really great question because it has a little bit of a reality check. We're not immune to it. Even in, when you're in this business of helping teams manage change, it's really something that I personally thought that I could just, work through mentally. But when I was faced with a major change during an acquisition, I realized that emotions are not off the table. And sometimes having the word emotions is like weird for folks. So why don't we change the word? Instead of emotion, let's say, how do we manage our own mindset around change? So change involves transitions. This means things are ending. Something's going to end. It also means that there's a bunch of messiness in the middle when you're going through kind of figuring out what's happening during the change. And then there's new beginnings. So all of these transition periods are what affects us and our mindsets or emotions. And this comes from the work of William Bridges. He teaches us that transitions are what we emotionally react to or what our mindset around change can really impact. Now, there's obviously no one-size-fits-all approach or strategy to managing your own mindset around change. However, there are behaviors that we can see and hear that indicate how we're doing or how our team members are doing in coping with the transition. And from that space, we can deploy strategies or tactics to assist ourselves first and then others. So if you kind of know what to expect, if you know what you're looking for, then you can acknowledge that point in the transition and use strategies to bring your best self forward.
Okay, so it's going to be normal to have certain emotions. So what are those emotions that we can be looking for? Like, let's talk about the endings.
Okay, so the endings first. So, you know, Mac, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced a lot of change in your life. What do you think bubbles up for you when you realize that you're going to be saying goodbye to something?
Well, I think typically, even if it's something that I have not really enjoyed, there's a little bit of sadness there. There's some uncertainty. There's maybe a little bit of celebration, but something does happen.
Yeah, all of those things that you just named are common things. And when you think about what it looks like to have some sadness, I'm sure if you can recognize that in yourself, and you may be able to recognize that in your team. So things like grief, sadness, disorientation, where you're like, what is happening? And even sometimes guilt can be a few things. So those are some of the emotions you'll notice. And I promised you earlier that, you know, there are some things you can do about it, right? So
yes.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about, okay, that's not the end of the world. If you recognize those ending phase emotions, here's some things you can do. So you want to acknowledge the endings. So you don't want to just turn the other cheek. You want to say, yeah, something is changing here. And acknowledging it or calling it out helps you to be able to process it. You can also acknowledge what's not ending, because just because there's been one change doesn't mean that the whole, everything that you know is changing. You also can focus on what you can control. And one of those things that's very important to all of us is our personal health. So this is a good time during endings to make sure we practice good self-care.
Well, on the note of endings, because I was thinking about this when you were talking, because I think some endings are actually happy endings. I can recall back in the 90s, if you listen to early podcasts, I tell you this story about when I almost took a swing at my boss. But what was interesting is that when that boss was fired, rightfully so, I fully expected celebration. I mean, inside I was celebrating. But I saw that everybody's attitude was just as poor, if not a little more poor. And I thought, I wonder what it was. And in my mind, it was, I don't think anybody really acknowledged the end. I think there was just no way to say, wow, he's really gone now. And so maybe there has to be some closure on that ending. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I fully agree. And that is, you used the word acknowledge there. Acknowledging the ending is what you need to do. Call it out, say something's changing here. And then your reaction, which was, huh, this should be something that I'm, you know, that people are feeling good about. You don't need to put your own personal reactions on it, but you can say, hey, this is ending. What's going on for you right now? What are you noticing? What questions are bubbling up right now? All of that type of conversation is an acknowledgement of the ending of something that used to be. I think it's really important, because through those conversations, you can start to move towards a closure, like you said.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, closure doesn't come next. We got the messy stuff, the middle stage. So what does it feel like when you're in that stage, Alexa?
Yeah, I mean, this stage is all about making sense of things. Let's just take your example. I was not with you when you almost punched your boss. And that was, you know, I'm glad this isn't visual, because you should have seen my face when you said that. But
you should have seen mine when I almost did it.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because who knows what would happen. But so in the middle, so your boss was fired, Okay. So there was this kind of a stage. And then there was probably a time when you were getting a new boss. Is that right?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the middle. When you're getting the new boss, you don't move all the way to the endings or the new beginnings. But what happened when you got that new boss? What kind of questions were running through your mind?
Oh my gosh. It was, please tell me this one will be better.
Okay.
It could possibly not get any more worse than it was. But I didn't know that.
So what I hear from you is a lot of curiosity, a lot of wonder, and a lot of kind of nervousness. You weren't sure if there was going to be something good or bad. So you're kind of finding your way. This is where you're learning a lot and figuring things out. And so because you weren't sure if it was going to be better or worse, there's a bit of churn. But there is a little bit of hope. So you can be a little lost, a little confused, a little excited, a little curious, a little eager. And at this stage, this is a great time to learn a lot, ask questions, share your observations, and be willing to be challenged on those observations because they're not fact. And a cool thing is to create short-term goals for yourself. Maybe during that time, you could have said, well, I think a short-term goal for myself could be to set up a one-on-one with this new person, see what they're like. Another thing is you can journal through that time to see how your progress happens. Because when you're in the stuff day to day, you might not notice that things are shifting as much as they are when you look back over time.
Well, I like the idea of journaling. It seems to me that when you come across a situation like this again, and I'm sure a person probably would, you've already figured it out once. You go back to the formula. It's a good idea. Well, there surely has got to be something good of these three phases. So new beginnings. What are some things we need to know about the new beginnings? We've said goodbye to the old. We've gotten through the middle. Now we're moving forward.
Yeah, the new beginnings. This is a time where it's bright and you can feel re-energized. Maybe you feel confident. Maybe you've found your new group. You feel included. And those are times when you can really start to get into a flow. This is the time as a manager or HR professional where people are in their new beginning, you'll see some higher performance, some positivity that can be contagious. And if you're that person, it's a great time to reflect on what you learned. Realize it was a journey. You can celebrate wins. You can also give recognition to those who helped you along the way or to yourself for how you made progress through that transition.
Well, a change is going to be something that we're all going to go through. If we're the boss, part of us will have to be leading the change. If we're an HR professional, we probably have a lot of the pieces under our control for the change. And from everything you've told me, communication is going to be key. I think a bigger challenge is going to be that sometimes we don't even have some of the answers to the questions that we're going to get. So what advice would you have for somebody in that predicament?
Yeah, one of the folks that got back to me when I asked them what they'd like to know is, I don't have all the answers and my team keeps asking me. So this is really tricky. You know, often we're not driving the change. And even if we are, oftentimes decisions have yet to be made. Or there's a lot of unknowns, but we do have the job of communicating about the change. So my first tip is when you don't have the answer, do not make something up.
I don't think you need to explain it, but maybe you should, because it seems like something we've all decided we want to do a time or two, right?
Yeah, it sounds silly. I mean, under pressure, I call this the hot seat. Somebody comes up to you and you feel like you have to have the answer just to calm things down. You know, if you end up making something up, even if it's close to what you know, it doesn't set you up for success because you're going to have to build upon that or come clean later. Things change. So, you know, it's uncomfortable for many of us. So in lieu of making something up, I offer this to you. When you can't communicate the answer, communicate the process. And it could look like this. You know, that's a really great question. I don't have the answer right now, but the board is scheduled to make a decision in, I think, 2 weeks. So let me check in with you in about 2 weeks and let you know what I've learned at that time. I can't promise that I'll have a lot more information, but I promise to keep you posted. Another thing you could say is, I don't have that answer, but I'm going to talk to my manager or HR to learn more about it, and I'll let you know what I found out. And having been involved in leading leadership teams and supporting them through long-term changes that take years, people do get tired of hearing that. However, they appreciate when you can be honest. And if you don't have all of the answers, it just is kind of a new muscle for people to flex to learn to deal with uncertainty. And that's something that not all of us are comfortable with. You know, you want a black or white, you want the answer. And in this VUCA world, like we said earlier, we are going to have to surf the waves when things are uncertain sometimes. So that means as a manager or HR person, we need to be able to carry that with us and help people to navigate even when you don't have all the answers.
You know, thinking about those responses, I'm putting myself in the position of an employee who does not fully trust their boss or fully trust HR. And so maybe what I would suggest is while times are not stressful, while things are not VUCA, then that would be the time that you might want to build some trust and build some rapport so that if you say, I really don't know, they won't say, well, she's holding back again. And because I think this is where the change is going to bring out the worst in us. It'll bring out the worst assumptions. So while things are calm, now it's time to build. I think the old Covey training used to talk about putting a coin in the emotional bank or whatever
bank
they
account.
Call that.
Yeah. Build that emotional bank account. I couldn't agree more. I think when you have a rapport with another, whether it's a employee, HR person, then you do have a certain space to come from that has a positive emotional bank account. And when times get tough, then people are more likely to have believe you and also trust you when you have to say, you know, I don't know. The other thing is you can assure them that you'll share what you know, especially if you've built that rapport and that relationship. And you'll share with them, I'll share it as soon as I'm able. And that sometimes means walking around with information before you can share it with others. It doesn't mean I'm going to tell you as soon as I know it. It's I'll share it as soon as I'm able and live by that.
Well, I think the trust is going to be key. This past trip I was flying back, I was binge watching. Of course, I can't do it with internet because I have such poor internet. But I was using DVDs, like old school. And I was watching the old HBO miniseries, Band of Brothers, which was just a fascinating story. But in a lot of cases, one of the officers would be given an order to get something done and did not personally agree with it, and yet said, make it happen. But he had the trust of his men, I think, to the point where they knew, like, yeah, he thinks it's a dumb idea too. But you know what? He's getting it done. Let's get after it as well. I think so much of your success leading a change is going to be made before the change even hits you. So if you're listening to this, maybe that's the first thing you do. And then when you've screwed it up, then you call Alexa to come and help bail you out, right?
Actually, call me before. To help them to build those healthy relationships and ways of working, even when it's not kind of a dire circumstance. So absolutely, Mac. I agree.
Just don't call me because I don't do this kind of work. It's not the kind of work I'd enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, let's wind down here. And I've got one more question for you. So again, we're talking about the person who is going to be not necessarily leading the change, because the change is going to come from somewhere, but the person who's shepherding people through it. What are some ways that maybe we could create some solid ground when it feels like everything around us is falling apart?
Yeah, this can work for the folks who are leading the change, or not leading the change, but helping people through it, or individually, if you're walking through a change. And, you know, this is sounding kind of hokey, but you need to shift your mindset from change as a problem, which is mostly what we see, to change as a possibility. And, you know, this is based in research. So recent behavioral research has shown that when groups focus on solving problems, they become depressed because the problem grows. But when they formulate plans by working towards a possibility or a vision of what they want to create, they develop energy, you'll develop enthusiasm, you'll be more optimistic, and you'll be more committed because you'll be moving towards something rather than trying to squash a problem. And I use a little acronym called SCAN at the Accela Group. It stands for See, Consider, Adapt, and Now Do It Again. And this is our approach to kind of seeing change as a possibility, finding ways to consider our different options towards that possibility, trying some new things, trying them on, adapt. And then because we live in this volatile, uncertain, changing world, we know that we have new muscles and we're going to have to do it again. So constantly taking stock of which wave is coming my way, seeing as a new positive possibility. And then surfing that wave is how I like to help people take control of the world around you when it feels like it's shifting.
I like that. Yeah, you mentioned this may seem a little hokey, and so I will tell you, you know, we have many of these interviews broadcast on both the channels, and some people we've had on HR Oxygen have talked about mindfulness and meditation, and some of my Boss Builder podcast people are probably thinking that's hokey, that's dumb, it's too touchy-feely. Well, here's what I've learned over time is that some of this stuff really works, and your brain is a powerful tool. Your emotions are powerful. If you learn to leverage those, you'll get a lot further. And if you don't believe it, then just continue to bang your head against the wall while the rest of us get better and solve problems. Well, Alexa, lots of great information, 3 episodes just full of great stuff. And so how can the listeners to these podcasts get a hold of you? How can they get some of your tools and resources? How can they bring you in before they get themselves in trouble? How can we reach you?
Thanks, Mac. Yeah, thriving and change is what the Accela Group is all about. And we also help people be their best selves even when it's not a dire circumstance. So we coach leaders to thrive and change. We build teams who shape their future. And we create and design and advise on change initiatives. A good place to start to find us would be to go to our website, www.theaccelagroup.com, and that's AXELA. And you can also check out specific training offerings there in our course catalog. And I have just posted a new, very practical tool called the Scan Plan for Change, where you can download a little worksheet that can accompany your meditation, but it's very practical. So you can start to track your movement from those endings through the middle to the beginning for yourself.
That's great. And that's based on your scan approach, right?
You got it. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, that's great. That's a great gift. Make sure you get over there, check out the website and get those resources. Well, we really appreciate all the time, Alexa. I know this won't be the last time we have you on the show, but for everybody that has been listening, I know you appreciated all the wisdom that she shared with us. So thank you so much for your time. Please keep us posted on the work, and we look forward to having you on the show again.
Well, Mac, thank you so much. And I really appreciate all you're doing to help the HR folks and new bosses out there to make the workplace a better place.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And, as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.